Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, episode number 53, we'll talk about some tools I use for productivity, some lessons that I've learned from a year of podcasting, and some tools of the trade. Maybe not in that order, but it'll be good. So listen up. Episode number 53 of the Leading While Green podcast, and I'm so excited that you have tuned in to another episode, and I hope that something that we discussed today will help you better live, learn, and lead with confidence. Okay, so it's been a year of this thing, and you celebrated, if you've been with me for a while, we celebrated with episode number 52. Episode number 52 capped off a year straight. Every week for a year, I've been releasing an episode of the Leading While Green podcast, and we celebrated with episode number 52. Had a great conversation with one of my former students who is now a medical student at the Georgetown University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C. And we talked about how to deal with life when success is not coming as fast as you want it to. So I encourage you to hop back over to episode number 52 and check that out. Now, before or after, it's really up to you. I'm just going to encourage you to leave a review on iTunes. We have hundreds of unique listeners who listen to this podcast every single month, but we only have a handful of reviews on iTunes. And those reviews on iTunes really help us get the coverage that we need and help us share this message far and wide. Those of you who have been posting this on your social media, you've added it to your Instagram stories, you've sent out text messages and emails and tweets, I really appreciate it. And I'm just going to ask you not to stop, because we have some pretty impressive stuff on deck, some great interviews lined up and some really good stuff. So you want to keep an eye out for that. I also want to encourage you to hop over to prcquinn.com and look for this episode number 53 on the blog, and scroll to the bottom. You'll see an opportunity to sign up for my leaders list. And it's really my newsletter that I'll be sending out resources, tips, videos, stuff to help you grow as a leader that maybe we don't have time on the podcast to talk about. When new projects will be released, new events, I want to make sure you get the information first. But to do that, I need you to sign up for my leaders list. That's right, leaders list. If you hop over to the website, prcquinn.com, if you scroll for a little bit, a pop-up will come up and you can sign up from right there, or you can click on episode number 53 and scroll to the bottom and you can see an opportunity to sign up. All right. So on the other side of 52 episodes, wanted to talk about some of the things that I've learned, how I've changed, what's happened, and really to give you some tools of the trade. But before we do that, have you heard of Mike Young? Mike Young, Y-U-N-G, and I'll put this in the show notes. I'll put some clips in the show notes, some links to some YouTube videos. Mike Young, I guess affectionately known as one of those subway singers. If you go to major cities, you'll see street performers. They have them in Chicago. I saw some when I was in Houston. New York is a big, big, big deal for street performers. And Mike is a subway singer. He could be found with his music playing loudly in the subway and singing popular tunes. Now, here's the thing about Mike. He has an amazing voice, and people recorded videos of Mike. Mike ended up being on TV and singing competitions. The whole world was able to see the talents, the gifts that Mike has when it comes to singing. And a little while ago, I saw on Facebook that Mike is going on tour. That's right. Mike is going on tour, and I'll put the URL in the show notes, where you can check on Mike's tour and watch some clips. And it's an amazing story. Now, what's intriguing for me is that in one of the Facebook posts, Mike talks about how he's been in that subway singing for, I think, 40 years singing in the subway. And this guy can sing. And it really made me question how long you're willing to keep pursuing your dream. Singing isn't something like professional sports where, you know, there's a peak in professional sports. There's a time where your body just can't keep up. And usually when you get into your 40s, that's when in most sports, you know, if you haven't retired by then, you significantly slow down. Singing is not the same. Now, I know some professional musicians, some professional singers who may listen to this or who I'm friends with, and feel free to chime in, leave some comments in the show notes. Singing is not the same. It's one of those things that seems to get richer with time as you mature. So Mike's been doing this for a long time, and I'm really to see someone who's pursued a dream for so long. He's pursued this dream for so long, and finally he's going on tour. He had a Kickstarter campaign to raise money for his album. I mean, just great things. But how many times did Mike say, "Man, I don't want to go sing today," or "I don't feel like it," or "People are going to make fun of me," or "People are going to take pictures of me and not put money in my hat," or "People are going to tell me just stop," or "They don't want to hear my songs," or "They might come by and tell me to shut up." What was it about Mike? And I'd love to be able to interview him, and I'm sure he's on that media circuit of interviews because of his newfound success. But I'd love to ask him, you know, what kept him going in those moments when it just didn't seem like it was worth it, didn't seem like it was panning out. Was it just the love of the music? Was it those micro performances that happened in the subway? What was it for Mike that kept him going? Well, I can't ask Mike, but I can ask you. What is it that keeps you going? What is it that keeps you pursuing your goal? Why do you get up and go to work every single day? And one of the workshops that I lead, that's one of the questions that I ask the participants. And we kind of do some brainstorming around how they're wired to keep going. And what are the things that you hold in the forefront to remind you that you have to keep pushing? But for you, what is it? Why do you keep going? Why do you keep going? Now, I want to encourage you to keep going. You know, we're in that latter part of 2018, and we look back and think, wow, time has really flown by. But I want to encourage you just to stick with the plans, the dreams, the projects that you've had. You know, stick with them. There's a project that I'm starting that I was brainstorming on last year, and I did some groundwork and it just didn't get off the ground. But it seems like now is the time to work this project again. And I've already done some groundwork and I hadn't given up on it. And it just, timing is everything. And sometimes the things that you're really looking to do, you're trying to accomplish, it's not really a question of effort. It's not really a question of resources. It's a question of timing. And for Mike Young, his time is now. And check out some of his videos. Maybe even stop by and on the tour date if he comes to your area. It's just an amazing story to see someone pursue something for so long and finally it's coming true. All right, so man, it's been a year. Can you believe it's been a year? Some of you have been with us from the beginning, and when you really put your mind to something and then you set up a process to accomplish it, It's amazing what could happen. So I want to give you some of the stuff that I used for this podcast, and it's not just for the podcast. It can help you in all areas of your leadership in terms of productivity. And I'll save those for the end of the show. But before I give you those in the latter part of our conversation today, I want to just share with you five things that I learned from podcasting for 52 weeks. So five things from 52 weeks. Some of these things that we've talked about before, but we might not have talked about them in this way. Okay. And this is in no particular order. So number one is consistency is key. Did you hear me? I know you did. I'm going to repeat it again. Consistency is key. Consistency is key. Here's the thing about whatever you're working on right now in your job, in your business, in your particular ministry. Consistency is key. Now, I had a pastor tell me years ago, and I still struggle with this from time to time. A pastor told me years ago, when you get to a church, never start anything that you're going to have a difficult time keeping up with. Never start anything that you're going to have a difficult time keeping up with. And if you just have the idea, but you don't have the resources, you don't have the tools, you haven't mapped it out, you haven't found the right people, maybe you should let that idea simmer for a little bit before you go gung-ho and try to start a new initiative and it just doesn't pan out. And as leaders, especially if you're like me, if you're an ideator, you love ideas. You love coming up with new ideas. You love bringing up different concepts. You love helping people put their heads together and coming up with something novel, something innovative. But many times we as leaders who are ideators, we get fuzzy on the details, and that can cause us to have notepads and poster boards and sticky notes full of stuff that we have a hard time being consistent with. So that's consistency is in terms of building an audience, in terms of building a brand, in terms of building awareness. If you're working with clients, maybe you're a project manager, consistency, or especially in sales as well, consistency is key. How often are you checking up? How often are you checking in? How often are you conversing? You know, a quick text message, a quick phone call to some of your key people and just say, hey, just want to see how you're doing. Just want to see where you are in the process. Just want to see if you have any questions. You know, that consistency and whatever you're working on. If you have to speak in your job from week to week, if you give a weekly briefing, or if you have to chair a meeting, consistency is key. Consistency in preparation, consistency in conversation, consistency in communicating ideas, no matter what you're working on. So don't just say, that just works for podcasts. No, it doesn't. It works for life. Consistency is key. And the only way to see transformation, the only way to see things change is if you're consistent over a long period of time. I think my good friend Jerome in the last podcast said that true success is operating at a high level for a long period of time. Well, operating at a high level for a long period of time is also consistency. So there is some success in consistency. All right. So number one, consistency is key. Number two, every rep ain't pretty. Every repetition isn't going to be pretty. Now you got to be consistent. You got to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. And this was a small goal that I set for myself for 52 weeks. What's your goal? What is it? Is it the writing thing? You're trying to do the book? Well, what's your goal? Is it 20 minutes a day? Is it an hour a week? Well, whatever it is, it's not always going to be pretty. Every writing session isn't going to be great. Every rehearsal isn't going to be flawless. That's why they call it practice. Every game is, and many of us watch professional sports, and you know that sometimes your favorite players, they don't have good games. They have messy games, sloppy games, but even in some of those messy and sloppy games, their teams are able to eke out a win because it doesn't always have to be pretty. And I think that's something that catches us from time to time. Parked outside, well, near the front of my house, on my street, there's some construction equipment. They're digging up the road. They're doing something. I don't know what it is, but they're digging it up. And it's all inconvenient. People have to park in different places. It obstructs traffic a bit. But I looked at that equipment and the equipment that they're using to dig, and I don't know what the equipment is. It's just big and yellow. Okay. And they're digging up the road with it. This stuff is a bit rusted on the side. Some paint is chipped. You could tell it's been through some wars in terms of repairing streets and doing construction work, but it works and it's working well. Now here's the thing. There's a place for flashy. There's a place for innovation. There's a place for new stuff. There's a place for trends. There's a place for different and there's a place for new. But sometimes we're guilty of sacrificing effectiveness for the sake of flashy. Or maybe a different way of saying it. We sometimes sacrifice functionality for the sake of flash or fashion or perception. And I just want to encourage you that every time you work on something, that doesn't mean that that it has to look good. The work itself is the thing. The work itself is the thing. So every time you sing, every time you're in the practice room or you're preparing to sing, it's not, you're not always going to be on your A game, but that's the purpose of that repetition, to get you to the place where when it matters the most, you'll be ready. Now, I've had podcast episodes that I was recording just to say I recorded one. I didn't feel good about it. I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of stilted, but it was a repetition. And I learned something from every single episode that helped prepare me for the next one. And that's what you need to do as well. Practice those presentations. To all my leaders, practice your presentation. If you got to speak, if you have to address your audience from time to time, it doesn't matter if it's just you're sharing memos or you're sharing updates, practice those things, and your practice won't always be perfect. The performance, let's be honest, the performance isn't always perfect, but it's a repetition for you to learn from and just get more reps up, get more repetitions up and see what happens. So consistency is key. Every rep, it ain't going to be pretty. Number three, production is greater than potential. Yeah, production is greater than potential. Now, early in your career, if you're an emerging leader who's listening to this podcast, early in your career, well, people will give you a chance based on, well, not just based on a resume. Resume is really not the best predictor of someone's potential of effectiveness. It could be because you kill the interview. It could be because of one of your references. Any one of those things could be a contributing factor. And when you're early in your career, people make consideration for potential. But as you get older, what people are looking for is production. They're looking for production. Now, this is how it worked out for me. I can't remember the number. I have to go back and check. But it was a while before I invited people to be guests on my podcast. It was a while. And the reason why is that I wanted to have something to invite them to. Now, I know people who have podcasts and from day one, it's interview style. But I wanted to build for myself a platform, a place where I could share thoughts, where I could convey ideas that was uniquely my own, that I wasn't borrowing or pulling out of someone else. And then once I felt like I built up some. Maybe not credibility early on, but built up some consistency. Yeah, going back to number one. Then I had something to invite people to. So when I started inviting people to be on my podcast, it was already a handful of episodes under my belt, a handful of reviews on my belt, and people check those things out. I wanted to build a platform. I wanted to build a table. This is another way of saying it. Instead of always looking to sit down at somebody else's table, I wanted to build a table and invite people to sit down where I am. And I've talked about this before, especially those of you with side projects or passion projects that are different from your 9-to-5, or some of you have non-traditional work schedules, but you have a passion project that's different from your full-time job. And I want you to know that sometimes the best thing that you can do, instead of begging people, hey, can I speak at your event? Hey, can I write for your blog? Hey, can I write for your newspaper? Hey, can I work with your team? Sometimes the best thing that you can do is to create something for yourself. So I've been doing these workshops. I've been doing these conferences, and partially because as a speaker, which is one of the hats that I wear, sometimes you don't get booked or people go with someone else, and you need the reward of booking yourself, of scheduling yourself, of putting yourself to work. And people take notice of that, of those things. So after a while, what happened for the podcast, I started getting inquiries from a publicist that was saying, hey, such and such has written for Harvard Business Review. They've been a TEDx speaker. They're published in major magazines. They've worked with some top level executives at companies around the world. And we've heard your podcast. We want them on your show. And the first couple of times that it happened, it kind of threw me back. And you know some of the people that we've had on the show. We've had Lolly Daskal, who's coached C-suite leaders for the past maybe 30 years. She's written an amazing book, Leadership Gap. We've talked to Ron Carucci from Navalent, who is really paving the way in terms of helping leaders figure out what sidestepping the things that can derail them and realizing that 50% of leaders, when they're elevated to that position, fail, and really avoiding some of those mistakes. We talked to Andy Malinsky and his work at Brandeis University and growing leaders there. And he's really in these high level conversations and influencers. But that came because this groundwork of just me and a microphone, me sharing thoughts, me trying to be consistent, and people seeing how much I'm working to build something before I sync up with them. Now I heard someone say, I can't remember what comedian that said it, but he talked about the idea that people are more likely to, if your car is stalled, people are more likely to help you if they see you pushing the car, as opposed to if they just see you standing outside the car thumbing for a ride. They see you because something in us resonates when other people are working. And sometimes, you know, you got to ask yourself, and I know it's tough. I know it's tough. You're transitioning to a new job, and we're going to talk to some career placement professionals about what that looks like. And maybe you're trying to get into music, and we're going to talk to some musicians about that. We got some, you know, great interviews coming up with influencers, and I know you're trying to build something. You're trying to transition for your job. You're trying to grow your ministry at your church. You're trying to make a bigger impact in your nonprofit. You're just trying to be a good employee and move up the ranks, and whatever it is, you got to get to the place where people can see that you're producing. People can see that you're producing, because production beats potential. When you can show what you've done, then people will begin to converse with you about what you're capable of, but they got to see what you've done. Okay. Number four is this concept of need to stop being the best kept secret. I think that was cute. Maybe that was cute in the 80s. Maybe that was cute in the 90s, but stop being the best kept secret. This is the world that we live in. Now, I get it. Some of you saying, I don't want to brag about what I'm doing. I see people on Instagram. I see people on Snapchat. And it's just this brag fest. Everybody talking over and over and over about what they're doing. And a lot of people are pretending that they're doing stuff and they're not really doing it for like. They're not really doing it, but it gets them likes. And I get it. But I need you to understand this principle of marketing. Especially for my people in my nonprofit space, understand this principle of marketing that it takes a consumer 7 to 10 times. They have to see a message 7 to 10 times before they make a decision. They make a decision on a product, initiative, or service. 7 to 10 times. So you got to ask yourself, okay, you put up one Facebook post, and if you didn't know it, let me explain it to you in terms of the Facebook, the social media algorithm. What happens is when you put up a post, that post is released to a small percentage of your friends or connections or followers. And depending on how that small connection of friends or followers responds, if they like, if they comment, then the algorithm opens it up to more of your friends, more of your followers. So sometimes you ask yourself, man, I've put up something. How come no one's seeing it? Because everybody is not on social media at the same time. And the algorithm, it caps it depending on engagement. So when you pay for ads, what you're really paying for, primarily, you're paying for access to all the people that you've already connected with. They've monetized this thing to the hilt. So you wonder, I put up a Facebook advertisement for something at my church, or I put up a sale for my business, or I am a graphic designer and I want people to use my services, or I'm a speaker and I want people to book me. One post isn't going to cut it. At minimum, if you're trying to promote something, you got to do it 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. And I would do it 3 times a day for 7 days. And I know you say, well, what if people get tired of it? Well, if they get tired of it, they'll scroll right past it. But one time isn't enough. This is how you know this. This is how you know what I'm saying is the truth. Because when you watch television, let's take McDonald's, classic example. When you watch Television, if you watch an hour program, which is really about 42 minutes, you're going to see a McDonald's commercial 7-8 times. They're paying to be in front of you 7-8 times because they know it takes about 7 times to make a decision. And that's just for one show. So what makes you think that one time putting a Facebook page up, post up about your business or about your product or about your service, about your offering, about your company, about some initiative that you're trying to roll out to your people. Maybe you have a private Facebook group as well, or you think one phone call, or if you're in the church space, you think one church announcement or one bulletin insert is going to get you the traction. No, people need to hear something 7 to 10 times before they make a decision. And as a leader, you got to stop being the best kept secret. Ron Carucci talked about this in our conversation about leadership. And he said when he worked with his executive coach, his coach was saying to him, if it was your mission to be the best kept secret in consulting, then you've done a great job, because you're not in the places, you're not writing in the places where the people you're trying to be in contact with are reading. You're not visiting those circles. You're not having influence. So where are the places that you're looking to have influence and grow your influence? One message isn't going to be enough. One phone call, one email isn't going to be enough. You got to repeat the message, and not in a cheesy way, in a strategic way, in a way that's non-threatening, but in a way that's highly, highly engaging. Okay, number five, here's the last one of these. Some of the things that I've learned from podcasting for a year straight is that growth takes time. Yep, I said it. Growth takes time. I know you know it, but I need you to really embrace it. Growth takes time. Now, when I first started over a year ago, I don't know how many people were listening a week. Okay, I do know. It wasn't a lot. It was maybe 50 people a month, unique listeners a month listening to the podcast. Now we're close to 500. Now that might not seem like a big deal to you because you listen to podcasts that have, you know, thousands of listeners, or, you know, like Dave Ramsey's podcast has millions of listeners, but everybody started somewhere. And if you do the percentages, if you look at the math, that what's the percentage of starting off with 50 unique listeners a month and then having 500 unique listeners a month? What's that percentage of growth like? You know, leave me some comments in the show notes on my podcast or on social media. What's that number? Some people are good with math. What's that number? And then what if I kept growing by that amount of percentage every 6 months? But growth takes time. Growth takes time. And in order to grow, you got to be consistent. You gotta keep up the repetitions and embrace the fact that every time you swing the bat, every time you stand up to speak, every time you send an email, it's not always going to be pretty. You have to produce. And when people see you producing, they're more willing to give you a chance. And that's why you got to book yourself, and especially with tools out there now. If you're in the, say you want to be your passion is cooking. I mean, with Instagram and YouTube, listen, you can advertise yourself. You can market yourself. Stop being the best kept secret. You want to be discovered like maybe back in the day, or how you've seen in movies, somebody knocks on the door and say, "Hey, I saw one of your a friend was telling me about one of your recipes or about something you said, and here's a $50,000 contract to produce this for us." Nope, doesn't work like that. You have to put your work out there. Put what you're doing out there, not to brag. And here's the way to ensure that you're not bragging. Be open. And this is part of my conversation. Be open about what you're doing and be willing to tell people what they can do to experience similar success. And then recognize that growth takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. Think about it. How long did it take you to get as tall as you are right now? Now, for some, I know if you're like me, you've been the same height since you were 15, but it took you 15 years to get to that height. Growth takes time. So keep at it, be consistent, produce, and share. Let people know what's going on in your world. And I promise you, you'll see some changes if you keep at it. So, man, I wanted to share with you some of the things that have really helped me on this journey. And I'll put this in the show notes. Now, I had some tools. Well, this kind of process. And I know I wanted to podcast, and I know what I needed was tools. I needed a system, and I needed a schedule. So I want to let you know what are some of the things that I've used. And you can use this in all areas of your leadership. Trust me. So, real simple, using a MacBook. I'm a Mac guy. And I'm using a mic, an Audio-Technica mic, and I'll put the description of the mic in the show notes. These are my tools, simple tools. Just pop it in. I'm using GarageBand to record. I'm using Auphonic.com for leveling and mastering. So I record it in GarageBand. I export it and I upload it to Auphonic online, and they do the leveling and mastering and kick me back an email and tell me it's done. And you say, "Well, I'm not into podcasting." Well, you can use this similar setup if you want to record some weekly announcements for your team, if you want to give people some deeper insight on a project that you're working on. It's really, really simple to record some audio and send it off and let people take a listen. And they can take a listen when it's convenient for them. So I use my MacBook. I use a program called GarageBand that came with my Mac. I use an Audio-Technica mic and a popper stopper because I say a lot of P's, and I guess I like to spit on my mic. So the popper stopper helps me from it softens the sound, and it keeps my mic keeps it dry. Now, I also use Zoom video conferencing, and I have an affiliate link for Zoom in the show notes. And I know some people use GarageBand, some people use Google Voice and some other programs out there. For me, Zoom is a solid platform. It's not too much, less than $20 a month. It's a solid platform. I even like Zoom better than Skype, and I was a Skype guy for a long time. But I love Zoom. I love it's really a stable platform, and I use Zoom for some meetings. I use it for recording my podcast episodes. You can record a Zoom session and export, and I've used it for conferencing as well. So Zoom is a really good tool to use if you want to have virtual meetings, if you want to have one-on-one, if you want to meet with a group, if you want to make a presentation and record it. Check out the Zoom conferencing platform, and I put a link to that in my show notes. I also use Acuity Scheduling. Acuity scheduling works beautifully for me, partially because I integrate it with my Zoom platform. So when I'm booking my podcast interviews, I send a link to my scheduling app in Acuity. And once the person books a session, it automatically generates the session inside of Zoom and gives them the call in and access and all of that. And it works beautifully. So these are really good tools to have. Even if you're not into podcasting, Acuity scheduling. Just get Acuity scheduling. Get Acuity scheduling. And when people want to talk to you, and when people want to connect with you, ask them to make an appointment. It'll send out reminders. It'll do the whole nine. It'll keep you from losing those pieces of paper. And even if you're a paper and pencil person, even if you need a physical schedule, still use Acuity scheduling because it helps the person that's scheduling time with you. It sends you those reminders, and it keeps everything in the same place, and it syncs with your Google Calendar, and that's what I use. Another good tool to use is Google Voice. The reason why I use Google Voice is that Google Voice gives me a phone number, gives me another phone number that I could use, and then I can send all the messages to my Google Voice number, and then you get the visual voicemail, so you can kind of read through. It's not 100% accurate, but it transcribes the voicemail for you pretty close. And it's a good tool to have. Even for me as a speaker, as traveling, wearing multiple hats, my phone number is important to me. So I use my Google Voice number, give people that number. They can text to that number, and it forwards straight to my phone. And these tools really, really help. Canva.com is another tool. another tool for simple graphic design for Facebook posts. I know a lot of you like to put up quotes and different things and design simple flyers for social media. Canva, canva.com is a great place to start. And it's not just for social media stuff. If you want to design reports or slides or handouts for presentations, Canva is a good place to do it. I've used Canva for a few years now. So I got these tools. I use Acuity Scheduling, Zoom Video Conferencing, Auphonic.com for leveling, Canva.com for graphics. And I'll put all these in the show notes. Well, then I needed a system. And my system was simply this: a record in GarageBand, export from GarageBand, upload to Auphonic.com. After Auphonic.com does its work, download the edited track, and then I upload that to my blog, prcquinn.com, and I sync it with, I use Blueberry. I'll put that in the show notes too. Blueberry podcasting service, and it automatically uploads to iTunes. And that's really my process. That's how I get from start to finish. And I also make sure to try to get it done by Wednesday, Thursday at the latest. I know some podcast episodes have come in on Friday, but you got the, I had tools, I have a system, and I have a schedule. So my tools help me get the job done. My system gives me a workflow, and then my schedule makes sure that I get it done in the right time. And for some of us, we're struggling in one of those areas. So here's a simple thing to do. And you can use this for any project, any leadership project that you're working on of any nature. Think about the thing that you're trying to do, the thing you're trying to accomplish, the big idea. And then write down all the tools that you need to accomplish it. And maybe you got to ask some questions with some people who have done something similar. Make note of the tools that you do have. Make note of the tools that you don't have and how you can access them. Can you borrow it? Do you have to pay for it? How can you get access to those? Can you leverage something? Can you barter? And we need to have a conversation about bartering as well. How you can leverage your services to receive services in return. But you need to get the tools. And then from the tools, you need to get a system. You can't just be haphazard with your stuff. You need a workflow. And you need to schedule. Scheduling is very, very important. One of the key things for me going through this podcasting experience was learning again the value of my time and underscoring this idea that my time is so important that I need to monetize it. Now, what happens when you go on this journey like me and I'm in the leadership space and I talk to tons and tons of people and everybody wants to pick your brain for 5 minutes? 5 minutes is never 5 minutes. 5 minutes can turn into 30 minutes. 5 minutes can turn into an hour. And if we're friends, if we're good friends, we pick each other's brain. But if we're not good friends and you just heard something I've said and you want me to help you think I can help you, then it has to come to the place where you're teaching people how to treat you. So I monetize my time. If you go on my website, prcquinn.com, you'll see under Work With Me, you can sign up for different times there. My leadership coaching, if you just need a 1 hour of coaching, that's an option there. Follow-up coaching call on a leadership project. Maybe you just say, okay, I want to brainstorm a project, and there's some time there, and there's some money attached to it. I mean, this is just the way it works. This is the way life works in terms of your time is valuable. And I need time for leading my church. I need time for my projects and teaching leadership and having leadership conferences. But most of all, I need time for my family. And my time is very, very important. And what scheduling and monetization has allowed me to do, it's allowed me to really weed out some people who are just going to waste time, who are just going to come to you and start picking your brain for ideas and never implement anything and try to take that value from you or take that idea from you and use it to the max and never even let you know how you've impacted them. So available for coaching, brainstorming on projects. You got a project you're trying to get off the ground. You're trying to streamline your team and you need some coaching on how to deal with them. Really, my passion is coaching leaders and helping leaders better lead their teams. And you say, well, I want to bring you in and talk to my team. Yeah, I want to talk to your team, but I really, really, really want to work with you as a leader. So go to my website, prcquinn.com, and under the Work With Me tab, and let's schedule some time to work together that's going to be beneficial for both of us. Because one of the things about being a leader is guarding your time, guarding your resources very well. At first, you got to know what tools and resources that you need. You got to put them into a system, and then you got to keep to that schedule. You got to keep to that calendar. You got to keep those appointments. Now, I know it's rough. I've missed some appointments. I've had to reschedule. Some things just didn't work out. I've disappointed some people along the way, but it's a reminder that you just have to keep going. So I was able to keep going using these methods for a year. And we're not stopping now, are we? No, of course not. So hopefully this podcast has inspired you maybe to start a podcast of your own. Even if it doesn't, maybe it inspired you to start a project of your own or really consider in terms of your business, in terms of the company that you work for, in terms of the team that you lead, how you can better streamline the process. When you guys are getting ready to embrace a big undertaking, how often do you sit down and talk about here are the tools that we need, here's the system that we're going to put in place, and here's the schedule that we're going to keep to? Now, I know culture is a big, big thing. And one of the previous episodes, I think Lahaja Furaha from Management Concepts talked about organizational culture, organizational climate. And you want to go back and take a listen to that. Listen to all of them from the past year if you haven't had a chance to listen to them. So hopefully you got some good stuff out of our conversation today. Got some great interviews coming up for you, some people that I'm sure you're really, really going to enjoy. And it's been a pleasure being with this on this journey with you for a year. And let's just keep it going for another year and see what happens. Because it's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. iTunes, 5-star review. Check out the link, episode number 53 on prcquinn.com. You'll get all the affiliate links and all the resources there. And until next time, take care and God bless.